9:30 on a Monday morning, an opportunity for me to welcome in Bartlesville's City Manager Mike Bailey and also sometimes the staff and management of the City of Bartlesville. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie.
We have a fly that has invaded the studio here for some reason.
I'm glad it was a fly, Charlie. I was afraid it was a spider crawling on my face. about to be embarrassing if it was.
The spider needs to spin a bigger web outside the front door so that the flies don't get in. But
yeah, that's it. I can live with a fly, however, as long as it's not a spider.
Okay. No, I'm not aware of any spiders in the building.
Definitely
I haven't seen any on your face. So
that's important.
The operant phrase there still is, I'm not aware.
I'm not aware.
I have no knowledge.
I can work with that. I'll just assume it's a spider.
Okay.
I'll assume it's a fly then, Charlie.
I think you should. So. Good morning. Thanks for coming in, sir.
Well, good morning. Thank you. Oh, yeah. I always appreciate starting my week off with you, Charlie. And it's not a bad week so far.
It is a full week in Bartlesville.
That's right. And I was afraid we'd skipped fall, Charlie. A few weeks ago, I thought we'd gone straight to winter.
The students know the fall break is now over. So
that's true. Fall break is over, so now the weather feels like fall.
That's right.
Well, Charlie, we've got speaking of fall and October and Halloween, we've got an event that's coming up that's right in the theme of that.
Okay.
White Rose Cemetery hosts what is known as Mausoleum Stories, and they've been doing this for several years. This year it will be from October 25th through the 27th. So on Thursday, October 25th, it'll be held at 7 o'clock p.m. On Friday, October 26th, it'll also be at 7, and then on Saturday, October 27th, it'll be at 2 p.m. So this is features the stories of several local pioneers and residents who are interred at White Rose Cemetery. So it's a cool event. Kind of like I said, it's a little bit in the theme of Halloween. Tickets are $10 each and may be purchased at the Bartlesville Public Library. You can also call the cemetery office for more information, and that would be 918-338-4070.
And as I recall in the past, unless this has changed, those are mausoleum stories, as in they invite you into the mausoleum,
right.
The atmosphere, the acoustic echo, et cetera, of that structure.
And if you've never been in that mausoleum, it's quite a spectacle. It is very impressive. And of course, it was built privately and then was eventually turned over to the City of Bartlesville along with a small endowment to help maintain it. But it is a very cool structure. Of course, there are a number of famous residents that are interred there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a very interesting building.
And that's like the nice thing about these stories. They are real stories of real people. And whether you're told in a spooky or a reverent manner, it's the point that they are being highlighted because they're Bartlesville people interred in that cemetery.
That's right. This is there are some very important and influential people in not just in Bartlesville's history, but in our state's history that are interred in that cemetery and in that mausoleum. So, a great opportunity. It is not normally open to the public, but this is one time where it actually is. So, if you're interested, certainly take advantage of that. About the same time, on October 27th, we're having our Drug Take Back Day. We've talked about this a few times, but I think this is important to mention. Bartlesville has been very successful in this initiative, which we take to be a good sign. We certainly hope it is. It seems that people are interested in disposing of unwanted medications. The DEA field office in Oklahoma has stated that drugs that are kept in the cabinet past their expiration date are very much subject to misdirection. They end up in the wrong places, the wrong hands, whether that be your children or at school or on the street, something of that nature. So this is an opportunity to dispose of those safely. There are three locations. The Bartlesville Police Department, which is 615 South Johnstone Avenue. Bartlesville Fire Department Station number 3. This is the one that is north of Sooner Park at 100 Southeast Madison Boulevard. And then Bartlesville Fire Department Station number 4. This one's the one that's behind the Food Pyramid Grocery Store at 3501 Southeast Price Road. And again, this is anonymous. It starts at 10 a.m. and runs till 2 p.m. on October 27th, and it is completely anonymous.
And that's something that's important. I think that nobody's going to ask you questions or who are you and why are you putting that in the box.
That's right.
But also, you mentioned medications that are outdated. You're not getting full potency of the medication.
If
it is your medication prescribed for you, but the fact that depending on the rate of decay, it may be totally worthless, or you may get some side effect that was certainly unintended by
that's
that medication.
Right. So this is a great event and a good opportunity to clean out your medicine cabinets. I know, and looking at mine the other day, it was a little full. It was mostly over the counters, but there's plenty of medications, and I think
are welcome there too.
That's right. And I think if everybody takes a moment, they will discover that they have a large amount of prescription and over the counter medications that are no longer in date or that are just no longer desired. If you've got pain pills and you're past that surgery and you don't want them, having them in your cabinet is, as I said, those are subject to diversion. And it's best to just get rid of them.
Prescribers with the best intentions after a surgery or similar event will prescribe enough, particularly to get you through the weekend and maybe even into Monday or Tuesday, and you find that you only needed two pills anyway, and so the other however many there are left are sitting there.
That's happened a number of times, so this is a great opportunity to get rid of those, and we would encourage everybody who is interested to participate. We've been very successful with this in the past, and we hope that continues. That removes a lot of unwanted medications from our community. So now, Charlie, normally we, as you mentioned, we would have members of staff in here and have some different perspective on the nuts and bolts and the day-to-day of the city of Bartlesville, and we decided to take a little bit different angle today and brought a city council member with me. Mr. Alan Gentius, and there are several items that are coming up, not just on this council meeting, but over the next few that Alan has been deeply involved in. So he was kind enough to agree to meet me here this morning and spend some of his time. I know you get paid. You're well compensated as a council member for your $10 a meeting. For every meeting you attend, up to, I think it's four.
Yes, I think we're overpaid actually.
So you could get a grand total of $40 a month.
That's right.
But this is not counting as a meeting.
That's right. This one's on you. Sorry to tell you, but we've got a lot of great things that are in the works. There are also a lot of opportunities. As we've seen, there's been some turnover in upper management at the city of Bartlesville, starting with Ed Gordon. We've had a police chief that retired. We now have our city attorney who has announced his retirement. So there's been a lot of opportunities, and wanted to bring Mr. Gentius here today to talk about. Thought we'd start out talking about the city attorney appointment. Of course, the council had announced that they were receiving applications, and I'll just take a moment to clarify one thing. We'd announced that we were taking applications through 3:00 on Friday. We had to post the meeting prior to that. So on Thursday, we posted the meeting, and Elaine sent the packet to the council. We did receive an application on Friday. So when the original packet went out, there was only a single applicant. We now have two. And so the council will be considering those tonight.
That's right. And tonight we'll have what they call an executive session, in which we go into a different meeting room. It's generally just the council and our some of the staff, and we'll go through the different applications, have a discussion as to who we think is the best, or we'll also talk about if there's some additional information we need, and then the actual vote would probably not come until the next meeting.
And so, you mentioned executive session, which I think sometimes can be somewhat misleading. Other state open meetings acts simply call them open and closed meetings. It's a closed session meeting behind closed doors, not open to the public.
Right, and it's one in which you don't make any decisions at that meeting. It's more for information.
That's
than,
right.
So we can discuss certain items such as employment or those kind of items. There's other items also that are allowed under the statute.
Pretty limited. It's typically items that require confidentiality, either a lawsuit when you're being advised by your counsel, or when you're talking about the hiring, firing, or discipline of a council employee, not just an employee of the city of Bartlesville, but of a council employee. So this is one of those rare exceptions, and as you said, this no action is allowed inside of an executive session. It's just a discussion. All action has to be taken back in the public meeting. And to be clear, tonight's meeting is open to the public. There will just be a small section of it where the council will retire to a separate room, and then they'll return to the meeting once that's over and finish conducting the business. So with the two applicants, and there's no. The process hasn't been decided yet because there's been no formal action taken, so that'll be part of the discussion tonight. And I know that the mayor had made some informal comments about what he would like to see, which we've been following, pending action by the council to the contrary. So, but that that'll be an interesting position. I know you've served as a city attorney yourself, so you sort of have a unique perspective on this.
I have. I've been the city attorney for Town of Ramona for about 12 years, and it's a somewhat specialized area of the law, and requires certain skill sets. There's only a few folks in this area that actually practice in that area. Hate to see Jerry Maddox go, because he's been such a big help to the city and such a great resource. Somebody will be filling somebody's pretty big shoes. We'll see how this goes this evening.
So it'll be interesting. This, of course, is another one of those critical appointments that the city council gets to make. The city attorney, city manager, and the municipal judge. Steve's not giving me any indications that he's leaving, so I'm assuming that you won't be faced with that one soon.
That's a good thing.
I'd rather keep him around. So one of the other things that tonight you and Mr. Curd will be giving an update on the Tower Green. I thought we'd take a few minutes today and talk about sort of the history of it, and where we've came from and where we are. You chair the the Tower Green Design Committee, which is tasked essentially with making a recommendation to the council at the November 5th meeting. So the clock's ticking on you guys.
That's true. Early on in the process, we had decided that we were going to try to have some sort of design deliverable by November, and it looks like we're on track for that. Some folks may not know, but the idea of a Tower Green has been around for a long time, probably over 20 years. And when we came on council, one of the things that we had talked about was to see if we could move that forward. And with a lot of people's work and help, in March we did pass a bond that included $1.75 million for the design and the building of a green space between Price Tower and the Bartlesville Community Center. And then for the last few months, we put together a design committee, and the design committee's met numerous times, all open to the public.
Many.
many times.
I'd say that committee has met more than any other committee in the last 3 to 4 months.
And everyone's had an opportunity to have their input. We also had a large survey, had a good response to that. Over 1,000 people responded to the survey.
And you hosted some meetings in very large venues with the intent solely of receiving public input. We didn't even conduct business at them.
That's right. And we had good attendance. People seemed to be interested in the project. And now we're down to probably our last meeting, in which there'll be a design idea that will be chosen and then presented to the council in November. The other thing we'll be looking at, everybody's been calling it the Tower Green, but there's not been a final recommendation as to what that name will be, so I'm sure there'll be some discussion of that. And that meeting will be on Wednesday at noon at the City Hall, and of course it's open to the public like all the other meetings have had. And since I chair it, I always make sure that everybody gets to have their say. Sometimes we can't let anybody take over the meeting. We haven't had too much problem with that.
Yeah.
But we pretty much let people become completely satisfied that they've had their say before we move on. So you'll be welcome to come and let us know. And this is kind of your last chance before it goes to council.
I would say the community engagement in this project's been pretty fascinating. The large meetings that you all held, in fact, you held them at the community center. Were there two of them?
There were two.
Yeah, two individual meetings at that, in a very large space that were very well attended. There was a great deal of public input on a number of issues, and it's been interesting for me to watch, because oftentimes government, not just local government, but all governments are accused of not listening. Now, we went into this essentially with a blank slate. I know some people thought decisions had been made that, you know, the fountain was going to be removed or this was going to be done, but really there was a blank slate. We knew the boundaries of the project about, and that was really about it. But during that process, some discussions on the fountain occurred. I know that there was an outpouring of support for it, and there were some who were opposed to keeping it, but I think the committee has looked at it now, and that's one of those items that through public input, I think the committee has almost decided to keep the fountain. I realize the design's not complete, so that was an interesting part of it, the orientation of the space. There's just been some sketches up to this point, and you'll be looking at an official budget come, I guess that would be this Wednesday, right? So in the next 2 days.
Right. We'll be including that in the overall discussion. And then, of course, there was not only those open meetings as well as comment at all the other meetings we had, but we had that charrette process where the students from Taliesin came in, and that was a whole weekend worth of meetings, information that people were open to. We had large crowds come to that, and there was a lot of discussion there from the public. So we feel like that we've had good input from the community. We are listening. We're including those aspects within the overall design. And I would anticipate, as with most things, as you move along, there'll be some additional things that come along that we won't think about or we hadn't thought about. No one can anticipate.
That's right.
And so we'll probably keep the committee going if the council so chooses, and we can kind of answer questions as they come up as the remainder of the process comes through the construction documents and the bidding. And then ultimately, I know decisions have to be made, just like any project, even ones that you have at home, decisions have
Absolutely.
To be made as the project goes along.
As it progresses, you are correct that you will not anticipate everything in the project. Now you mentioned Taliesin, which, and for people who aren't familiar with the school of Taliesin, could you give them a little insight into what that actually is?
Well, there's two locations for the Taliesin schools. Taliesin was created by Frank Lloyd Wright himself and his proteges, and these are students who have those sensibilities for Wright's design. And these were students that actually came from, I think most of them were from the Arizona school.
Taliesin West.
West, there we go.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so they're bringing something that's somewhat unique, since those two buildings, the Price Tower and the Bartlesville Community Center, are both, of course, Price was built and designed by Price, by Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yep.
And then the BCC was designed by the Taliesin group. So we felt like that was a good group to bring in so that we maintained the overall feel and the historical significance of those two outstanding architectural designs.
And sort of bridge the space between them. Of course, there are probably our two most important historical assets are both of those, and they're very important to us. So this space between them is a great step to preserve that and to enhance both of them. Yeah, so the involving Taliesin, I thought was interesting, and as you said, involving the charrette process, which for people who aren't familiar with it, it's sort of structured chaos.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's a very creative process where a lot of ideas are thrown on paper, and I think from that the students came up with, was there three concepts?
Yes, there were three teams. That's right.
And then there was actually, was he an instructor for Taliesin, and he's also an architect who was there?
Right. There were two architects that had come. The one stayed through the entire process. The other one kind of came and went because he had other requirements. And they kind of provided some structure for the students and some direction. And then there were also architects. There's a couple from Kansas City, one from OSU. So it was a great process. And I've been very impressed with the amount of people who've been interested, the public coming in. We had great attendance there, great input. There was a very open process. So really a good procedure, I think, that we followed.
It's been very cool. And I know it's drawn a lot of comparisons to the Guthrie Green, which I wasn't all that familiar with, but I did go down there a couple of weeks ago and sort of looked it over. How does our site compare in space-wise to the Guthrie Green?
I think square footage, we have a little bit more square footage than Guthrie has. A little bit different configuration, obviously.
Right.
Not quite exactly a rectangle.
Yep.
But we're a little bit larger than Guthrie, not by much. A little bit, of course, a different setting. They started out with the parking lot that was part of a brownfield project. And if you don't know what brownfield is where there's an environmental aspect to it, so they had to clean all that up. We don't have any of those problems.
Thankfully, yeah.
And we already have the iconic two architectural buildings in the space. So I think we actually start out a little ahead. I don't know that we would ever have the amount of funds that they had, but
a little higher population density and a little more money, but
that's
okay.
But I think this will, in some ways, it will mirror, but it'll have its own unique Bartlesville flavor that will fit within the Frank Lloyd Wright design aspect.
As everything we do does, it has a unique Bartlesville flavor. So, okay, well. Anything else you wanted to cover on the Tower Green?
No, I think that's pretty much it. But anyone who would like to have their last say as far as the design committee is to go ahead and come on Wednesday afternoon at 12 o'clock at City Hall and We'll, if we have to move to the bigger room, we'll do that to make sure we accommodate
them. Accommodate them if we have to, whatever it takes. Right. And of course, once it passes from the design committee to the council, there'll still be citizens to be heard at the council meetings, but now really is the best time to get, if you have ideas, to get them heard and to express your opinions.
That's right. So,
well, you've also been busy. I know that there have been a lot of meetings that you've attended. You attended one at the Westside Community Center. I believe that you attended a meeting at Oak Park, and you were kind enough to take Chief Rolls and start getting him introduced to the community as well.
Well, I'm very impressed with Chief Rolls. He did make time on one evening to go visit with the folks at Westside Community Center. We had a good group, about 30. And then the Saturday following, he and his wife braved the rain that we were having that day. And they came out to a park there in Oak Park. They were having what they call their Panther Party. And he came and met with citizens and stood in the rain. You know, anybody who's willing to stand in the rain for an hour and a half with the city councilman and talk to folks, I think that's pretty impressive. And his poor wife, I think she's just had a baby, and she was willing to come out there and brave, too. I thought that was showed us something about their character. They brought the MRAP. The kids love that thing.
And I saw some photos of some people in the back of it trying to get out of the rain.
There were a lot of people climbing in and all that thing, so that was good. They had a good turnout, and so we're impressed with the new police chief. I know he's had some things come up. I know near our where I have my office, there was somebody had been found down there who had passed away.
Found some remains there that's still investigating.
So he's hitting the ground running, and we like him. We're glad that he's responsive, and he seems to generally want to meet the public, and that's very important.
He does. He has been very busy in the office, and he has told me that that's starting to lighten up a little bit, and he's asked me to get him out in the community now. So we've met with a few people, and of course, as I said, you were kind enough to take him to those meetings, but those have been very good meetings. I think that they're very positive. I know that you and Councilmember Kurd both communicated some issues that were brought to you at the Westside Community Center. But then you also had Oak Park, and I know the lines of communication have been very good between Oak Park and the city of Bartlesville. And I think you've attended most of their it's not a homeowner association. What do they call it?
It's the Oak Park Community Association.
Community Association, yeah. That's right. It's not actually a homeowner association.
And anytime I've not had a conflict, which I unfortunately have a lot of things I'm involved in, we always try to attend those to make sure that we have some communication if there's something they need out there.
Kind of continuing a tradition that Eddie Mason set up with that group.
Yes.
And it really is a good relationship, and it helps us to help them. They're a little bit removed. They're similar to Circle Mountain in that they're just a little bit removed from the community. And I think at times they feel like that they are an entirely other community, and we want to make sure that they don't feel that way. So I know that we've, through those meetings, we were able to make a lot of improvements out there, and we discovered some issues that they had. I know that in the last several years on the GO bond, and GO bonds and sales tax, we've made some improvements to Brentwood and Sirocco. And then through your meetings, a gentleman, Mr. Williams, contacted me with some concerns about Highland, and we were able to go out and make some improvements there. There was also some drainage concerns that at the Palmetto and Virginia drainage area. Unfortunately, those actually run over into the county, but we were able to make some improvements, and we're working with the county to ensure that those things, some of the problems don't reoccur. And then I know that there were some improvements we made at Panther Park, and we've been discussing some future improvements there. I know there's some concrete issues maybe with an old tennis court.
That's right.
If I remember right, that we've been looking at. And then, of course, in the near future, I believe it was in the GO bond, we have some money for Palmetto, and it's concrete replacement from Sooner to Virginia. So We're trying to do everything we can. Of course, that's a neighborhood that has reached an age at which it is starting to have some infrastructure issues that we want to deal with to keep the neighborhood from declining. But those are all big projects that have happened out there. And as I said, I think in large part that's due to the lines of communication that you've opened with them. And staff has came with you a couple of times and had some good conversations. Those things will continue. Your ward is a pretty big ward.
It is.
It stretches Could you give people an idea of the boundaries? I know it's kind of hard to describe because
it's everything north of Adams from 75 Highway to the western border past the airport. And then there's everything north of 13th Street between Cherokee and the river. And then there's a small area that goes down the east side of Shawnee Avenue. So it's a very sprawling group area. Geographically, I think it's probably square miles. It's probably bigger than any of the other wards.
I think you're correct.
Certainly has a more diverse population than probably any of the other wards.
Yes.
Of course, Oak Park, we want to make sure that they feel like that they are. They know that we feel like they are part of the community. We want to include them in the community. And in the future, we're looking at some additional things that we can do to help Oak Park be more connected with the rest of the area. Of course, the ward also includes the downtown area, so we've been had quite a focus on that for the last 2 years. And, with the downtown landscaping improvement, you see on 2nd and Dewey, some of those improvements that have already occurred. There's money available now for Frank Phillips. We'd like to see a third phase dealing with Osage and the rest of the downtown area. There'll be a large paving project coming up as part of the bond.
Pretty much every road for about $2 million. So that will be a major project that I'm sure will be well received once it's completed, but will not be without its complications as it's being constructed.
That's always the downside.
You mentioned the landscaping downtown along Frank Phillips, and I think for many, if you haven't driven, or at least even slowly driven, that couple of blocks that has the new landscaping, I think it's more extensive than many people thought it was going to be. It looks very attractive.
Thank you. And, the design or the landscape task force that was created and they had us be a part of and chair, they actually walked the streets, talked to the merchants and landowners to try to get a feel for what would work. And then we worked well with the staff of the city to come up with a plan that would make this something more sustainable, clean look.
That's right.
No more trip hazards, those kind of things. And I think it looks good too, Charlie, so thank you for that comment.
I really do think it looks good. I think that the design that was agreed upon, as you said, it's low maintenance. It's something that can be kept up. Right now we have a challenge. The landscaping in the design that was created, I think maybe in the early 80s, it's overwhelming. If the property owners don't maintain it, then we just don't have the staff to. So this new design is a vast improvement. It's more appropriate to the scope of the staff that we have today.
I'm sure the merchants will notice the couple of parking places that they're missing, but overall the appearance I think makes up for it. I'm not a merchant, so I'm not going to speak too far on that.
Always be careful with speaking for others, right? Well, and the Alan, one of the first things that you and I talked about, I know you had a passion for the transportation process in Bartlesville, particularly what we had as far as mass transit. I hesitate to call it mass transit. What we have is a demand response system that's similar to a cab system, but it's subsidized. It's run by not Grand Gateway. There is a Grand Gateway.
City Ride.
Mm-hmm. The City Ride. And the I believe there are appointments coming up for that. Is that at tonight's meeting?
That's tonight's meeting, and we for quite a while, actually for the last 2 years, I was approached, and there was a need for certain kinds of transportation needs here in Bartlesville. They were trying to meet it with another kind of model that didn't seem to be sustainable at that point. We've now done an enhanced City Ride, which is much more affordable, somewhat expanded. And as part of that, I thought creating a transportation committee where the primary focus of the transportation committee would be to make sure that we have good transportation, as you said, kind of a mass transit, but
that's right.
in a Bartlesville flavor,
that's right.
For that.
Appropriate and, for us.
That's
and,
right.
And affordable for us.
And so Trevor Dorsey, Councilman Dorsey, is also on that committee. And we have come up with three recommendations, and those recommendations will be done tonight at the meeting. And if the council passes those, then that committee will get off the ground and running. And so we've talked to those folks. They're ready to go.
All right. That's a City Matters program on AM 1400, and we'll talk to you again next week.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON.